It's a bird. It's a plane. It's mocha latte time. This week, coming to you from rainy Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We'll be going over the coffee scene in Cedar Rapids and special interview with Josh the barista and exclusive new music from my dog coming up. This is Circus Boy Nathan Slayball coming to you from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Always unscripted, always unedited, so if I say something that makes me sound like an imbecile, well, I'll put it out there. And the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee, and this week I'm sitting here in Java Creek Cafe this afternoon in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I got my mocha latte here that I ordered. Looks all right. Looks fair. Fair to well, I would have to say. Thank you for joining me this week. You're listening to Best Mocha, Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World, and I want to get right to the interview with his name's Josh, the barista. Here's the interview. All right, so welcome to first mobile interview of Best Mocha Latte in the World. We got real-life barista here, Josh.
Yep.
And say hello, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
we're sitting in here in Brood Awakenings on kind of a rainy Sunday afternoon, I would say.
Yep.
So we're in Cedar Rapids this week, as I already told you, and Brood Awakenings. And are you like the main barista here, Josh?
Yeah, I guess you could call me the head barista or trainer and all that.
Trainer, uh-huh. Okay. So how long have you been associated with coffee or into coffee?
I've been working as a barista for about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
That's when I really got into it, I guess, was when I got behind the counter. So uh-huh. We'd be pulling shots and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited for myself here because I'm kind of new to, you know, the whole coffee thing and mm-hmm. like experimenting with the, you know, like pulling shots and learning about the espresso machines mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. But the people out there listening that know the terminology, what kind of equipment do you use here?
We have an ECM Sorrento three group head espresso machine.
Okay.
And I think Sorrento, the ECM division is just the American distributors for this Italian company, Sorrento.
Okay.
So, comes out of Seattle, but it's a great machine. We've had it for about a year and a half now.
Year and a half. Okay.
It's great for temperature surfing. Gets the, you know, pretty consistent shots out of it.
Yeah.
So temperature, and that's real important.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Very cool. Yeah, what's your... The way I found you guys, I was doing my normal search this week, and Josh, he poured me a beautiful looking latte. I think you're actually the only person in town that I've encountered that's doing latte art.
Uh-huh.
You know, which for those of you listening, latte art is, you'll see. Well, I'll put the picture up on my site.
Okay.
You'll see, kind of look like some people might like trees or
right.
like hearts or, uh-huh. You know, what have you on there. So. Yeah, it was very impressive. I was like, I got to interview this guy. You know, see what he's doing. That's cool. So what got you into coffee? Like where did you, I mean, how, like, were you, have you drank it since you were, like, I don't know, really young on up? Or was it, you know, in high school when you needed to stay awake at night? How'd you get into it?
I guess I first got started with, you know, the whole coffee bar boom, you know, mm-hmm. when all these coffee shops started popping up, and I kind of piqued my curiosity. It started with sweet drinks. and then worked my way down. And then when my family took over this coffee house and I actually started to work with it, that's when I really got into it. And I went to a coffee fest in Chicago, and I just saw all the opportunity with it, and how you can be really artistic with espresso and coffee and milk, just like latte art and all that.
Yeah.
And just seeing all the options, all the creativity you can put into it, really made me excited to just get into it more.
Yeah, so cool.
So I guess I would say in the last 2.5 years is when I really, really got into it. I mean, I work here 40 hours or more, so it's pretty much my life. So yeah.
So you really are doing your full-time.
Yeah, this is my full-time thing, yeah.
Yeah, and for the people that are listening that, you know, don't know what a barista is, if they think it's like a fancy broom from Italy, like how would you explain what a barista is?
Barista is basically a bartender.
Okay.
Only a bartender of coffee. So we pull all the espresso shots, steam the milk, build the drinks, and hand it off to the customer. So basically what you're drinking is what we had made. So.
Right. Yeah, and it really is like he was saying, like the more and more I've been finding out, you know, there really is an art form to it.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can, you know, I guess throw some coffee grounds on a machine and, you know, pull a shot, as they say, you know, with a cup of espresso, but to do it well, and, you know, there's like that fine, I don't know how to describe it, there's like that fine line between, you know, like something that tastes like battery acid and something that's just, you know, that blows your way.
Yeah, you can have the best equipment, the best coffee in the world, but it comes down to the barista.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to one of your podcasts and you mentioned something about a coffee shop that had a La Marzocco, the bad espresso. And then La Marzocco is like, that's the Ferrari of machines,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate when you have your working with like a machine like that and you get that coffee, you know, that comes down to that.
It's basically like putting, you know, average Joe driver from the street in a race car and like Indy race car and
say,
go win the, you know, Indy 500 or something. But very cool. Well, what are we drinking today? I came in and he had a French press all made up, and, you know, great tasting coffee.
This is Ethiopia Jurgenchef.
Okay.
So it's kind of a medium-bodied coffee. It's got some nice citrusy notes to it, I'd say.
Yeah.
Up front. Yeah, it's pretty acidic, not too heavy. So
I'm enjoying it. I everyone out there listening, I'm just, you know, beginning of the connoisseurs, you know.
Yeah.
No expert by any means, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. Now tell us a little bit about, we're sitting at Brewed Awakenings, which is right here on First Avenue, and downtown,
yeah.
Cedar Rapids, yeah, right across from some, what does it say,
Coe College,
Coe. Uh-huh. COE, not CEO, not like co-worker, but
yeah,
Co-College, and so you were saying a little bit here before we started recording, what's the history of this place? How long have you been around? Like, kind of thing?
This has been a coffee shop in this location for about 6 years. There was an owner before us, and that we bought the business from in I think 2003, 2004, something like that.
Right.
So this building, though, has been around for a long time. I think it first started out as a soda fountain, I think, in the 50s. And from there, it's been like a Domino's Pizza, a Harley motorcycle shop, to a coffee house.
Wow. Okay. So that's quite a history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you said it's family-owned now. Is that correct?
Yeah, my family owns it. Can you just stop? Sorry.
This guy's in high demand.
This is a totally family-run operation. My mom, my grandma, my sister-in-law, they do all the baking and cooking for lunches and stuff like that. And my sister and brother work the mornings, and I work the nights.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about three other non-family people that work with us that we hired. So it's kind of unique these days to have a business that's pretty much all family.
Yeah.
That's running it. So. Yeah.
You don't find that too often. I guess it gives you a little bit higher stakes since, you know, it's kind of,
yeah,
you know, your family name is associated with,
right,
it. So you're definitely going to be looking out for quality and,
yeah,
definitely, and standard. Yeah. That's great, man. So what would you say, since you're a native, I mean, you live here in Cedar Rapids, what would you say the coffee scene, you know, in your opinion, is like? I mean, would you say it's, you know, is it growing, or is it kind of catering more to, like, the business, I don't know, like, you know, like kind of like the 11 to 3 crowd, or, you know, what would you say?
It's definitely growing. I think in the last 3 or 4 years, we've probably had about, 5 or 6 coffee shops come out, and I would say overall the quality of the coffee that they're serving though isn't really good.
Yeah. I'd agree with that with what I found this week.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree.
The unfortunate thing about it is there's a lot, most of them are independents, and Starbucks is just starting to come in. Uh-huh. But the independents just aren't really hiring the right kind of people that are really interested in coffee and you know, taking it personal, you know, like I want to give someone a good drink that I'm proud of, you know, something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
And I just, from what I've experienced with the independents around here, they're hiring lots of high school kids and then training them, you know, the day they're hired, and they're making drinks that day.
Yeah.
And really, it takes you a long time to get the technique down to make good drinks, especially to understand espresso and preparation of it, because you're working with a really thin line of, you know, extraction could be good or bad, you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just like, there's a high possibility for error.
Yeah.
So, I just, unfortunately, the new cafes that are coming in don't seem to be educating the people that they're, or they're hiring, but they don't seem to be educated themselves. So, I think that has to happen if we're going to have like a booming coffee scene where we have quality coffee.
Yeah. So. Now you yourself, like, how did, you said you went to Chicago to that conference. Is that where you kind of got your training, or did you kind of learn from the school Hard Knocks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I basically trained myself. I went to the coffee fest and saw all the opportunities, and then I started getting books, you know, I got called Espresso Technique by David Schulmer. He's a head of Espresso Vivace in Seattle.
Yeah, I visited that place in Seattle. Uh-huh. A cool place.
Yeah, and he's kind of considered like one of the founding fathers of the espresso movement. You know, he's one of the okay, first shops out there.
Uh-huh.
And he's got some great advice on how to run a bar and how to make good espresso.
Yeah.
So, you know, reading little books like that. I've been out to the Northwest twice now, and I hung out at some coffee shops that are really well known and do it right, like Stumptown in Portland.
I've heard of them.
They're one of the best in the world, and I'd hang out there and just watch the baristas, watch what they're doing.
Yeah.
They pull great shots and put latte art on everything.
Huh.
So, you know, I travel around and check out coffee, talk to baristas that have good reputations and are good at what they do.
Yeah.
I just got back from a trip to Guatemala, and I wanted to witness the cultivation process of coffee.
Uh-huh.
So I went to coffee producing country like Guatemala, and I visited 2 farms and learned a lot from that, see where coffee comes from, put a face on coffee, basically, who's growing it, what they have to do to get it to us.
Right.
And so it just makes me appreciate it a lot more.
Yeah. That's really neat. What got you, I've been moving the mic because the fan on my computer came on, and it's probably going to be on the recording, and people are going to go, what in the world is that sound? Okay, so, yeah, if you hear a little bump in the mic, that's what it is. So what got you Guatemala? Like most people don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to go to Guatemala today to check out coffee. You know, did you have friends that kind of...
That was part of it. I wanted to see a place. I wanted to see coffee grow. You know, I wanted to just see it in the state. And I had a connection to Guatemala. So that was kind of why I chose Guatemala. I had read a lot of great things about it being a pretty country and friendly people. And it's not too hard to get to, you know, Central America, as opposed to Africa.
Yeah, that's cool. So. Did you have a good time down there?
Yeah, definitely.
Learn a lot. How were the farmers very receptive to visitors and people checking out, you know, what they do?
Yeah, they loved it. They had to have tours all the time, you know, for people that were interested in what they were doing. And like I said, people are really friendly there, so, and very passionate about what they do, too. So, you know, this one guy talked for a couple hours just on what he does with coffee, so...
Okay.
And passionately, like sweat on his forehead, you know, that type of stuff. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like, for those of you listening, I know a lot of you probably don't, you know, when you go through your normal coffee drive through, or you make that, you know, a cup of coffee in the morning before work, you probably don't think about, you know, where the, you know, the faces of the people who actually grow the beans, you know.
Yeah.
It's quite an involved process, you know, because I know you got the farmers, and then sometimes there's a middleman, if I understand it right. Sometimes there's a middleman, sometimes there's not, depending on how big the corporation is that's purchasing the beans.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know there's a big movement towards fair trade, like fair trade and organic beans, is that right?
Yep.
Industry?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. There's a big interest in organic and fair trade right now. And I'm not really sure of what's going on. There's a lot of talk about just the USDA organic affiliation being some kind of corruption involved in that.
Right, with the classifications.
Yeah, so I know a lot of farmers avoid that because they don't... They would love it for that label to be on their coffee, but they have to pay money to get that label.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so I know some just don't even go that route, even though it's even organic.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what's going on with all that. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, there's a little bit of corruption involved in it now, and I'm trying to clean it up.
Yeah. I just read a Consumer Reports article recently about that whole system, and how it's not, how they're still trying to figure out what true organic is.
Yeah.
And like some people are just putting organic on their product so they can sell it even though it doesn't meet, you know, half the qualifications of a typical USDA. But we'll save that for some other podcast that's doing stuff on USDA organic certification, but very cool. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the Best Mocha Latte podcast, and I wish you guys, you know, the best of luck here in Cedar Rapids, and hopefully people who are listening to this, if they are ever in this area, you know, traveling through, it's only, you guys are what, like 20 minutes north of Interstate 80, right?
Des Moines or Iowa City.
Yeah, so I mean, if you had the time making a trip out west, it's pretty much everyone goes through Iowa if they're heading anywhere in the western U.S. So, just make a quick trip up here, right downtown. It's easy to get to right off of 380 here in downtown, and check out Brewed Awakenings, and come and see Josh at the counter and say hello and tip well. So
that's right.
So man, any final words on coffee?
Nope. We are working on our website and a blog right now, so if you have time to check that out, it'll be brewedawakeningcr.com, and our blog will be brewed.wordpress.com, so check that out too.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll throw up a link on there. I think we got some pictures, some good press photos.
Great.
We'll throw up on the site. So thanks again, man, and best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right, and we're back. Now, I have to apologize here for the rest of the podcast. You're probably going to be hearing stuff, number one, the cheesy music that they're playing here. I apologize for the cheesy music. But also, you'll probably hear, regular coffee shop environment noises. So for those of you who are not used to the noises of a coffee shop environment, you know, just try to hold on to your seat railings or whatever you're at there, so you're not too shocked. You know, it's It's a different culture. It's not McDonald's, you know. It's not McDonald's, mind you. Anyhow, all right. Well, this week we're in, as I said, in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And the coffee scene here actually surprised me quite a bit. Well, first I should start out. Last week we had off, so I was making my way from Augusta up here to Cedar Rapids. So I did stop in Evansville, and I stopped Evansville, Indiana. And also stopped in Bloomington, Illinois, at my favorite coffee shop there. And then spent the week here in Cedar Rapids. And I have to say, the coffee scene surprised me this week here in Cedar Rapids. I wasn't expecting much, being that it's in the middle of Iowa. But, yeah, they had a fair amount of coffee. I think there were about six or seven places total. So, I got 9 reviews this week, and I'm going to start out with Evansville, Georgia, which is Evansville, Indiana. I'm getting my states mixed up here, but Evansville, Indiana. I stopped there for a day, and I stopped to look at the Briar and Bean. Which is kind of like it was a tobacco / coffee shop. And, before I get started, I have to say that all my ratings are on the Bean Scale, which you can find at go to bestmochalatte.blogspot.com. And if you go on there, I usually, if I have the time, I try to put all the reviews up there each week so that you can actually take a look at them. And I usually have a little snapshot that I take with the camera phone that I put up there. So, yeah, so all the Bean Scale is located on there. So the first one, Evansville, Indiana, the Briar and Bean, it was a nice little place. They had hand-painted murals on the wall. Definitely had some character to it. They had a good selection of beans. Actually had really nice coffee grinders. They had like 3 or 4 Ditting coffee grinders there, which those are, for those of you who don't know, Ditting is pretty nice, and they're pretty expensive too on the coffee grinders. But the drink was served auto to go cup. They did ask on the whipped cream, but the espresso taste was subpar. It was a little loose on the foam, and the chocolate taste was just so. I don't know what kind of chocolate they were using, but I would recommend that they use a different chocolate, because it wasn't too good there. So the chocolate taste was so, and the whole drink just seemed a little off to me. So I gave them 3.3 beans for this week. Moving on, Bloomington, Indiana. I had to stop there on the way through because one of my favorite places for mocha latte in the world is in Bloomington, Illinois. Rather, I said Indiana, Illinois. And the place there is called the Coffee Hound. Now, I had visited there before. We actually played Bloomington a couple months ago, and that's when I first discovered the Coffee Hound. And it's just a high-end, top-notch coffee shop there in downtown. It's very simple. They don't sell really anything except, you know, a few pastries in the cabinet and coffee. And they have a beautiful, for those of you baristas out there, they had a beautiful three-station La Marzocco machine, which is kind of like the Cadillac of espresso machines. Very nice machines. And the drink there, what I write here, I wrote, what can you say about a work of art? Yep, because that's what it is. This is truly one of the best in the U.S., if not the country, or best in the Eastern U.S., if not the country. I wrote here, I had good foam. They did latte art with it. Just a superb drink all around. Smooth milk, and it was just enough chocolate taste, and all embraced by a great espresso taste. Nothing was overstated. Everything was balanced in this drink. So this place is a definite must on any trip. So I gave them a 4.8, which is actually one of the highest ratings, which is what I gave oddly enough, what I gave them last time around. So they're pretty consistent too. So yeah, the Coffee Hound in Bloomington, Illinois, they got a 4.8 this week. So, all right, moving on, jumping over to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Now, Cedar Rapids is kind of almost in the center of Iowa if you go west from Chicago and on 80, and then you'll hit about, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half before Des Moines, you'll hit Cedar Rapids, which is about 20 minutes north, around 80. So, yeah, a lot of coffee here this week. The first place I reviewed was the Cedar Rapids Coffee Company, which happened to be across from the arena where we played, so I checked it out the first day. I was a little disappointed. They had a decent drink. They were a little heavy on the chocolate, though, and the chocolate wasn't remarkable at that. The foam was okay, and the bean taste, which is, I call the espresso taste the bean taste, you know, coffee bean, was a little weak. But they did ask on the whipped cream, but it was served in an auto to go cup. So I gave them a 3.5 beans. The second place was First Street Espresso. That's right up First Avenue there, right by college campus. Very, very nice place inside. It looked like they had bought it out from another business and remodeled it. So there's a few couches and tables and nice music playing. It wasn't cheesy 80s like a lot of places have, which kind of ruins my opinion. I mean, being a musician, of course, I pay more attention to the background music that you hear around you, but. But I prefer, you know, if you're going to play music, yeah, at least put a little effort into it, you know, and make it something besides generic radio music. So, yeah, they had good music. My first impression of their drink here at First Street was very nice foam. Great micro bubbles and colors in the foam. It was a really beautiful foam. They didn't do latte art with it, which is kind of like the next step from good foam, but it was good foam. Decent bean taste. The only downfall of this drink is that the chocolate taste was slightly too dominant in the drink, and you know, a lot more than it needed to be. It needed to be better quality. Otherwise, you know, it was a great drink, and it was served in-house cup, and they did warm the cup before they served it, because the cup was hotter than if you just would pour it in there, which also makes a difference in the taste of the drink. So I gave them 4.3 beans for this week. So very decent place. The next place on the list is the Blue Strawberry Coffee Company. Yeah, I actually tried this place out twice, just because they were open and they were near the arena. I said it's definitely it's a place that roasts their own beans, but I was disappointed because it was a kind of weird chocolate taste, and the espresso was too strong and had a bite to it. And anytime espresso has a bite to it, it's not a good thing. The whole drink needed a little more milk. So this place was definitely more of a quantity rather than quality place, and the drink was served auto to go cup. And the second time I tried it, it was actually a little worse than the first time. So I would have to say it's you know, it's an okay environment. They had live music, they roast their own beans, but it's, you know, for a place that roasts their own beans, it seemed like more of a novelty rather than a quality thing there. And so, yeah, Blue Strawberry, I gave them a 3.2 beans this week. Next place up is the Roasters Coffee Company. Now, this was in Hiawatha, Illinois, which is just kind of north of downtown Cedar Rapids. And very cool little place. They roast their own beans as well, as their name suggests. This decent drink, served in-house cup. They did ask on the whipped cream, average foam, decent chocolate taste, and amount of espresso I could taste seemed okay. But they could have used a little more of it and the milk. So, you know, it was, they're on the way to getting a good mocha latte, and they do roast their own beans, and I think they're doing a good job there. So their drink got a 3.8 beans for this week. The next place, which is where Josh the barista works, is Brewed Awakenings. Very nice place. I enjoyed the environment. You walk in there, a lot of couches and chairs, and just a kind of cool place to chill and hang out and, you know, read a book or, you know, just read a newspaper and chat with your friends, whatever. So the environment was and they even had, like, it's funny, I walked in, they had the little chalkboard there where they give coffee, the definition is the coffee terminology. So, like, you know, the barista and crema and that kind of thing, which is very cool. I appreciate that, especially for people, you know, that are just checking out a coffee place for the first time, you know, who might feel a little awkward at not knowing some of the terminology. It was, yeah, very cool that way. Anyways, I wrote here, what a find. The only place in Cedar Rapids doing latte art. And which is true, they're all the only place, they're doing good work there. The drink was served in-house cup, very decent drink, a nice espresso taste. Could have been a little bit smoother, I think, in the overall taste, but they had good milk, and I would definitely try it again. And they did ask on whipped cream. So they got, Rude Awakenings got a 4.4 this week, a 4.4. on their drink there. Next place is Java Creek Cafe, which is actually where I'm coming to you from this afternoon. And they had actually the best foam I've seen in a while. The foam on the microbubbles was very tight foam. I couldn't believe it. But they weren't really doing any latte art with it, though. So they had a good foam, but they weren't doing anything with it. It was served in-house cup, and they did ask on the whipped cream, but it needed a little more espresso taste. The chocolate and milk were good, but it just needed more espresso. And if it had that, it might be running for the best. So, and actually, the drink that I got today that I'm sitting here with is actually a little bit weaker than the one I reviewed earlier in the week. So I gave their drink a 4.2 this week. Moving on, Coffeesmiths. It's a local place. They just been around a couple years. I was a little skeptical. It was a nice place inside. Walked in, they had a fireplace, just like Java Creek here, and you know, very almost that kind of. It reminded me a lot of Montana. To tell you the truth, when I walked in Java Creek Coffeesmiths, the whole kind of feel, architecture is that rustic, I don't know what you call it, that rustic kind of feel that the buildings had in Bozeman, Montana when I was there. But anyhow, Coffeesmiths, it was served auto to go cup, and it had okay foam and okay chocolate espresso, but no, chocolate and espresso, but it wasn't remarkable. A decent drink. Maybe a little too sweet and a little bitter on the espresso, but they did ask on the whipped cream. So, yeah, they have some room to go on that. It was a little bit below average for Cedar Rapids here. So I gave them a 3.8 on their drink. The last, I believe this, yep, this is the last place, the Coffee Emporium, which is there downtown. It's definitely a business kind of place. They were a little too on the sweet side. They had okay foam, but it was served on a to-go cup, and it could have used a little more espresso taste. They did ask on the whipped cream, but overall, I'd just say, you know, I could really take it or leave it. It just wasn't that remarkable, so I gave them a 3.5 on that drink. So that concludes the coffee scene in Cedar Rapids this week. Next week, we will be in Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm going to bring up a special topic of coffee sauces. I got a great comment this week from a barista out west, and he wrote in and said he had found a cafe, which is very cool. I hope when we get out that direction next year, we're supposed to be out in the western U.S. next year on tour. Hopefully I get to check that out. But he was talking about the coffee sauce there was Ghirardelli's. And so we're just going to be talking about some of the coffee sauces that I run into and the pros and cons of some of the ones I've tasted and so forth. So we'll talk about that next week. And also we'll be in Des Moines, Iowa. So we'll talk about the coffee scene there in Des Moines. And also the interview next week, I'm going to be interviewing my parents. I'm going to doing a phone interview. And I'm not going to surprise them. I'll call them up and let them know that I'm going to ask them a few questions. But nothing like putting your parents on the spot and asking them about coffee. So next week, a phone interview with my parental units. And yeah, that's about it. Would love to hear from all you listening out there around the world. You can check out the website, which is bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. And I usually put pictures up there, and there's links to the other coffee sites and some of Mod Dog's music. And if you want to send an email, you can send an email to bestmochalatte@podomatic.com. Tell me if you find a great cafe or what kind of stuff you're drinking. If you find a great mocha latte, or you want to send me pictures of really cool latte art that local barista is doing in your town, that'd be awesome. That'd be great to see. And you can also, if you want to leave a voice message, there's a call-in number on the website there. And remember to leave your name and where you're calling from and so forth. And and maybe if it's good stuff, man, I just might put it on the air. You never know. So that's for next week. I'm gonna leave you with some new music. This is an exclusive from Mod Dog. Calls it Coldstream Canyon, and you'll hear it here first today. And until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.